Welcome, all you BBS listeners, Tan Talk listeners, Oklahoma, Texas stations now listening. All of you guys, hello. It's January 26th, 2007. Well, you thought I was going to say 6, didn't you? Well, welcome to the Friday edition of the continuing seminar tape series. This is a seminar from 1991 that had a lot of stuff in it that's very much coming to pass today. A lot of political stuff, and we're starting to move into the scientific stuff. That's important. We're going to have a wild show on the 27th. We're going to have Judge David Wynn Miller on, who is an amazing, amazing guy. He knows a heck of a lot about a lot of subjects. One of my favorites. He's got a huge following, almost as big as mine, I think. I announced him coming on there. So we're starting to see the great weather. I'm sure everybody out there has noticed this year in global warming, you see more changes than we've ever had before in global warming. And the changes are drastic, very much so, very drastic. Now, and I'm sure a lot of you have been watching the shows on television, a lot of shows, including MSNBC, have a Chris Hoberman show especially. They call it the end of days shows, and they're all going with the calendars around 2013. And of course the latest pseudo scare would be gamma ray blasts coming from somewhere in the universe not too far away, exterminating the Earth within hours. And so you just hear all these dark force terroristic things that go on. The bottom line is it's a giant cleansing. We're moving into a higher etheric level. And we're going to be talking a lot about that this year, and all about the mechanics of it and the science of it as we move in and have guests and go deeper and deeper into Dr. Bell's Health, Science, and Energy show. So a lot of good topics are up and coming. We've got a lot of great guests coming, too, starting very soon, actually starting Saturday night. More people are coming back and they're becoming accessible again, but most of the people that I know and want to be on shows that are worth the value of listening to, you don't they're not available. Not till spring is here, and the energy comes from the current of the center of the earth, and astral energy comes from the sun and away things go. So let's see how we're doing. We're going to continue right where we left off last week.
Little spots. Someone might have accidentally dropped one on the fire when I was standing over a stove cooking something.
You're talking about making the pyramids an accident.
Get it to speed up its process. And it fell in the fire and burned a little hole through the metal. And that was our heating process, of course.
That's how we developed our heating process and our power domes.
The hot flame showed us that one metal could run through another on the pyramid shape.
A lot of accidents at Paradise.
So we went on through a lot of experiences and with the platers, and we tried rhodium and all kinds of different silver metals, but the one metal we didn't try was silver. And I should have probably tried it first, but I never even thought of it. So I thought I was looking for an exotic silver, not a silver, kind of like normal silver. And so the Spanish guy that was working the platers says, "Hey, Dr. Bell, why don't you just try plain silver?" Because other silvers, we couldn't burn through them with the heating process to make the argon layers breathe. And I says, "Why not? It's the cheapest thing we've got in the silver metals." I was much hoping it would be something like rhodium, but they said no. And vanadium. So we tried the silver and put it in our heating process, and it worked perfectly. Our radome, which I was real happy to have. And when you wear the radome, it works through the hypothalamus, hypothalamus network.
The new one.
And I'll give a brief description of that in a minute. I do want to say that sometimes when you wear the fire dome or the radome or the power dome, which we developed after that, that sometimes you'll get headaches. And the reason that you'll get headaches is because the brain gets very toxic over the period, you know, over using it over many years. Because when you breathe your air in through your nose and it goes down into your lungs, and it goes from the lungs, it goes into the blood, and then through the blood into the out of the left atrium of the heart through the carotid artery and back up into the brain. And if you look at the arterial size coming into the brain, it's very large. But as soon as the blood and the oxygen arrives at the brain, it's very small. The arteries reduce from a quarter of an inch down to a millionth of an inch. This is acting like a filter or a strainer. So what happens is over the period of years, your brain starts to get very full of toxins, starting at the cerebellum, which is the bottom of the cortex of the brain, which is your balance. And if you notice, you can't stand on one foot and jump or close your eyes and turn around on one foot like you could when you were a kid. This is because the base of the brain is blocking up, and as this blockage moves forward, the midbrain, it starts affecting endocrine function, digestion, allergies, all these sorts of symptoms show up, plus mental sluggishness in the average person. And then this, of course, moves into the forebrain, which gives you senility in old age. And what we found is that when you wear the pyramid, it detoxifies this area of the brain. And so you sometimes are detoxifying too fast, and the liver can't handle it. If the liver can't handle it, it says, okay, I got a headache coming, meaning that it tells your head that it's going to hurt so that you stop doing what you're doing. And this is, of course, gets out of control if you drink too much alcohol, because the alcohol is already in your system. But in the case of a pyramid, you're detoxifying your brain. The brains are coming from the toxic, you know, from the centers of the brain down to the liver. Just take the pyramid off, the headache immediately goes away within a second. And drink water. Take some vitamin C or whatever, which you normally would do to cleanse up, you know, clean your body out a little bit and strengthen it. A few minutes, headache is completely gone. Wait an hour or two and put the pyramid back on and go through the process all over again. Eventually, you won't get a headache and you'll feel a lot lighter. And most people notice that their memory increases and they start remembering, you know, events in their childhood and things like that that they've forgotten. When properly worn and understood, the radome helps the wearer develop super concentration powers from a detached point of view. And most people wearing them reported a gradual loss of appetite, and this is just the hypothalamus. And it's also tied in with the alto major chakra, which consists of the pineal and pituitary and thyroid bodies. Balances all them out too. And your chakras, by the way, are your etheric counterparts of the physical endocrine system, and they're interrelated by tiny little nadis or small nerves that are very, very sensitive to certain electrical vibratory frequencies. Our bodies are electrical, chemical in nature, and when we feel energized, it's because we have a large amount of accumulated electricity in us. When we feel tired, it's because the electricity is used up. The body needs to recharge. I remember once Linus Pauling, a Nobel Prize winner, demonstrated this by connecting a 25-watt light bulb to a person who lit it for over 5 minutes. And as I said earlier, anytime electricity flows through a wire, magnetism will be found at right angles. And in our anatomy, we have millions of wires called axons. Now, looking back at the hypothalamus, which is one of the first areas affected by the radome, or the power dome for that matter, it's a part of the diencephalon of the forebrain and contains a number of nerve nuclei which control the visceral interacting organs, activities of many organs such as the metabolism of sugar and fats, water balance, heat regulation, secretion of endocrine glands. It is a center for integrating the sympathetic and parasympathetic activities. And like I said earlier also, the hypothalamus is often called the emotional mind, and so you can see we need to properly understand this vital center in order to maintain a balanced attitude. And with all the carbon monoxide out there especially, it's really hard to do that. That's why I almost won't even drive a car anymore without wearing a pyramid of some sort on my head. Now, when you're looking at the hypothalamus, you've got to look at the spiritual side of it too, because it works and it's very, very much in there. As in the higher nature, will is the impelling power, and so is the lower nature, desire, the impelling power. Willpower is a creative motivating force that drives us into experiences, which lead us to maturity. Desire is will discrowned, the captive, the slave of matter. It is no longer self-determined, but it's taking us away from our goals into some glamorous sidetrack. When will is a feeble, our whole nature is feeble. The reaction in its world reaction. The effective force which we have accomplished is measured by willpower, job completed, or desire power. And I'm going to go into that a lot, what the will is, when we go into our meditation. Job started but not finished because of diversion. You pick the one that feels the best. One is not better than the other, only a fact of evolution. There's a truth underlying the popular phrase, the greater the sinner, the greater the saint. The mediocre person can be neither greatly good nor greatly bad. There is not enough of him for more than petty virtues or petty vices. The strength of desire nature in us is a measure of our capacity to progress, the measure of motor energy, whereby we press onwards into accomplishment. Now, back into physical terms, activation of the cortical thalamic tracts, the the brain, cortex, pancreas, and connecting nerves, and maintenance of their dominance over the hypothalamus leads to the transmutation of all desire into will. This means our body functions through meditation and directing our consciousness from higher, you know, from our highest centers. Now let's just take a quick look at this. When pleasure has been experienced and has passed away, desire arises to experience it again. This, in fact, implies memory, which is a function of mind. If the sensation was unpleasant, we are forced to think about the comparison, and this is the birthplace of reason. If we have an exceptionally good experience, the mind plans, schemes, and drives the body into an action in order to satisfy the cravings of desire. And similar, in an unpleasant experience, strives to avoid reoccurrence. Such is the relation of desire to thought. The mind is in its early stages is a slave of desire. But as maturity makes us aware, the desire is curbed and we thus are formed to think before we react. Emotion is not a simple or primary state of consciousness, but a compound made up of the interaction of two aspects of self, desire and intellect. The play of intellect on desire gives birth to emotion. It is a child of both and shows the same characteristics of its father, intellect, as well as its mother, desire. Virtues are simply permanent moods of the right emotion. So you can see, as we recognize our weaknesses, so they can be corrected. And this path of recognition takes us out of frustration. And this is kind of what the body is always going through. And what we found that etherically, the ray dome and the power dome have a tendency to balance out electrically, biochemically, and on the etheric level, these different centers in the body, which then, of course, causes a mellowing effect and an overall higher accomplishment rate. Now, a few years later, we got into the development of the titanium pyramid, which was not, titanium was almost unaffordable at one time because it was so expensive, and it got affordable later. Still an expensive pyramid, but it's well worth the investment. The things that was real interesting about the power dome, the metal titanium, is the fact that if you were to look at its etheric structure and as well as its molecular structure, you'll find it has a kind of a cross-shaped energy to it. If you look back at the books written by Ledbetter back around the 1930s and Annie Besant, they have the occult meditation on the titanium structure, and it has a cross, Christos energy to it. Also, there in my book, Death of Ignorance, I have a photograph of water being blessed by the Pope over in England, one of the Earl of Lordsley. And you'll see in the picture, when the water was blessed, the molecular structure picked up a Christos-type energy to it. Titanium is really amazing. And we don't really understand all what it does, but even when it's used as a metal, like, for example, in an automobile engine, it would never wear out. It has its own natural elastic manner to it. In the pyramids, it has a healing vibration that's second to nothing next to gold, and it amplifies the effects of gold. Now, we want to talk about one of the things that happened when I was at Pyramid Power 5 with pyramids, was that we were growing plants in dark rooms, and the plants in the rooms outgrew the plants that were the control plants that were put in sunlight. And some of the people said, well, this is due to the fact that pyramid makes them grow, you know, bigger and better. I said, no, that's not true. What happens is the pyramid allows them to grow naturally. So we have another thing that happens in the pyramid that gives it the same energy as the sunlight, and that has the fact that it has the vitality globule present. Years ago, an investigation at a Omsk university in Russia revealed a strange phenomenon that when someone exerts a force with his arms or legs, his efficiency increases as if he takes a deep breath. It is natural for all of us to do just this, to take a deep breath before we lift something heavy. At first, the Russians thought when the breath is held, the muscles bracing the thorax provide a firmer foundation on which the levers of the arm can function more efficiently than when they lift. But when the experimentation showed that the same increase in efficiency occurred when the legs were used, and these, of course, were quite unrelated to the chest, the phenomenon has never been explained in scientific rationale. Oxygen itself cannot possibly play a part because it takes some 10 seconds for oxygen breathed in to reach the muscles of the arm, and even longer for the same gas to reach the muscles of the legs. This is evidenced in the fact that many athletes hold their breath when they run the 100-meter race. The oxygen from any air breathed in would arrive too late for use at the legs. In fact, I have heard athletes say that they seem to do better if they take a deep breath and hold it during the race. If oxygen is not responsible for the increased efficiency within taking a deep breath before exertion, what is? Now let's just talk about that for a few minutes and go into the subject of prana. Prana is an energy as yet undiscovered by science, but science is really starting to discover it now in the laboratories of the nuclear physics labs, which stems from the first subplane of all the major planes. And we're going to be talking about the seven levels of consciousness and the seven planes very, very shortly now. It is found, therefore, not only in the physical world, but exists in more subtler forms in the astral and mental worlds. So prana goes all the way up. As a matter of fact, it is the animating effect of the human form. Is one little bit of prana. Each level of consciousness has a constituent of prana that combines down on the physical plane in one large thing called the vitality globule. Because it originates on the first of the seven subplanes on which gases, liquids, and solids are, the lower three subplanes, prana is closely related to the material of that substance, which we call the ultimate physical atom. And prana is an energy which stems into our planet from the sun itself. And you got to realize that prana is a high, powerful energy that without it, and you know, when they hold their breath, if they're holding the prana into the spleen is going to process the prana. If you were to gaze up, for example, on a particular day, on a sunny day, you would see the ultimate, we call the ultimate physical atom, or the vitality globule. It's kind of like specks that dart around up on it. You look around a cloud or something, you look up at, you know, sort of near the sun, you'll see these things. The vitality globule composes the seven ultimate physical atoms, and they are linked together with the energy of prana to form a radiating, light-emitting, vitality indrawing vortex. Mr. Ledbetter, who I previously mentioned, describes in detail in his brilliant classics, The Hidden Side of Things, which is a very good book, and The Occult Chemistry, how prana emitted by the sun enters the mirrors of Anu in our atmosphere from higher dimensions. It is the energy from the second aspect or heart of the sun, as it is therefore evolutionary in the sense that it is spiritually motivating as well as a vitality inducing to all forms that use it. When an Anu is filled to capacity, it begins to glow. Now this is, an Anu is the vitality globule itself, and it's charging on prana, when prana being a constituency of the seven levels of consciousness that are filtering through us through the sun. The sun is like a filter from higher dimensions. Even though we can draw upon the energy directly through a pyramid or the carbon atom in the body, the sun does it quite naturally. Where an Anu of the second ray of love emerges, the ray itself, energy of the solar logos, it attracts by means of its inherent enhanced magnetic qualities six other Anu to form the vitality globule. It is in this state it may become attached to an oxygen molecule. It may be drawn into the body with the act of breathing, or it may be drawn directly into the body unattached to the spleen chakra, which, like other chakras, lies on the surface of the physical etheric body. Now you got to realize when you're dealing with the spleen chakra that some people are not actually able to use that as well others, because they're not developed in that area and they're only pulling their energy off the sun. These people that can't use the spleen chakra yet won't get the full benefit of a pyramid, for example, when they wear it on their head. They're not going to feel it right away. Like some people come right up to the booth or wherever we're demonstrating them or one of our seminars or lectures and immediately feel the pyramid, even more so than I usually do, and it took me a while. Other people can't feel anything, even though it's working on them slowly and subtly. And that has to do with the development of the physical etheric body. Well, it's time to change the...
This seminar series is continued on the next tape.
Time to change the tape here. And also, I want to bring up a couple things while we're on the topic here. This is very true. I forget a lot of my information, but a couple of things. One is that a lot of people don't feel the pyramid right away, although now, because the consciousness since 1991, when this was originally done, the consciousness of the planet has shifted quite a bit. The energy frequencies are higher on the DNA, and so therefore the spirit through the hydrogen atom is resonating deeper on a lot of souls. And so therefore, sensitivity is not quite as bad as it was then. Thirdly, also, it's very important, we have a new product we're working on now, where we take a silver power dome and we put diamond dust on it, actual diamond dust. Yes, it does look a little sprinkly, a little shiny. And the diamond dust, what it does is it permeates the crown chakra, and it also sort of like starilizes the star, S-T-A-R, elizes the rest of the chakra system. It brings the whole body up another octave. And it's called a chrysalidome. We'll be taking orders for those. They're going to be about $1,000 a piece. But I think once you wear one of these things, and I have worn prototypes, once you wear one of these things, you're going to be totally amazed. Matter of fact, I promised Don Newsom with BBS Radio, he's going to get the first prototype as soon as they're finished. We are in process now of trying out different manufacturing techniques. But I can tell you this, if you close your eyes and put one of these things on as it comes down over your head, before you can even feel it over, on your head, but it's over your head, you'll see a lot, at least I do, I see a lot of bright little shining stars. It's just like, somebody closes your head and you smack you in the face and you see stars. It's kind of the same thing without the pain. It's more of an ecstasy view of the stars versus getting smacked on the face. So it's pretty interesting. And so the Chrysalidome is one of our new products for 2007, along with a revamp of a lot of the other products that we've got. Plus, we're working on a low-cost ion shower, which is going to be incredibly cool. So hang in there and see if Dr. Bell will continue on here right now like a good guy with what he's supposed to be doing. And we'll move right on through the tapes today. Here he comes, Laguna Beach.
You got to realize when you're dealing with the spleen chakra that some people are not actually able to use that as well others because they're not developed in that area and they're only pulling their energy off the sun. These people that can't use the spleen chakra yet won't get the full benefit of a pyramid, for example, when they wear it on their head. They're not going to feel it right away. Like some people come right up to the booth or wherever we're demonstrating them or one of our seminars or lectures and immediately feel the pyramid, even more so than I usually do, and it took me a while. Other people can't feel anything, even though it's working on them slowly and subtly. And that has to do with the development of the physical etheric body. The vitality globule vitalizes the etheric structures of the physical body. The mechanism of metabolism, however, sustains the purely physical parts of those organs. Now, you got to realize about how we break things down. By digestion, we break all food down into constituent molecules. These molecules are absorbed through the wall of the intestine into the blood. They are circulated around the body in the cells of the various organs, like the kidneys, liver, muscles, etc. Remove the molecules from the blood and form through a form of combustion. They convert the food molecules into various forms of energy, which themselves use to drive the various cell processes. To release this energy, oxygen must be present. This is known as internal respiration. It is, as we see, an energy-releasing mechanism in which glucose is burnt in the presence of oxygen. The release of the energy sustains the physical tissues. Prana released from the vitality globule sustains the etheric organs, and this is really the esoteric counterpart, which occurs esoterically in internal respiration. The storage of energy in the glucose molecule is the esoteric counterpart of the storing of energy in the vitality globule. Thus, we find that 6 atoms of carbon, 12 atoms of hydrogen, and 6 atoms of oxygen are brought together to make a glucose molecule. The same thing occurs in the green plants, the green leaves of plants, and it's called photosynthesis, the putting together of glucose molecules through combining them with the bonds of energized by light, photos. Now, you got to realize that these vitality globules are most predominant during the hours of about, I would say, 6 in the morning till around 11 o'clock. They're the least predominant in the hours of about 2 o'clock in the morning till about 4. And this is about the time that you have the largest amount of natural deaths. And you amplify this by the winter months, and you end up with even a higher decrease of these vitality globules. So even in the wintertime, in the wee hours of the morning, you have even higher large amounts of the natural deaths. Meditation, of course, brings in immense energies and makes you more efficient from the higher levels down into the etheric body, and that is important and causes a more efficient assimilation of prana by all structures at all levels, mental, astral, physical, etheric, and so on. Vitality globules also enter the green leaves. They go in great quantities, and they pass through the openings of the stomata on the underside of the leaf into the spongy mesophyll. They're huge open air spaces. They lie in close opposition to the spongy cells which store the glucose made in photosynthesis. When the plant draws on its glucose, stored in its starch, prana is released from the vitality globules, accompanies the glucose sap as it passes through the growing points of the plant. Now, it's really important to realize we're going to get into the energies real soon here, what they are, but I'm showing you how they're used. These same 7 subplanes and 7 sublevels and 7 levels of consciousness, because each level of consciousness has subplanes, are brought into the body through the hydrogen atom. If you notice, we have hydrogen, oxygen, and carbon combined in here. The body is only made up of oxygen, hydrogen, nitrogen, and carbon. When we get into the pyramid, where the pyramid enters in, the pyramid is the shape of the carbon molecule, the carbon atom, when it's forming, and the shape has to be perfect. If the shape gets distorted, for example, a person is stressed out, you're breathing bad gases into your system, and the shape gets distorted, then what happens is the ability to hold on to oxygen, hydrogen, nitrogen is impaired, and the body starts to become more efficient. When we do muscle testing with a pyramid and sugar, or have you breathe glue and wear the receptor, which a lot of you have seen us do, and the body gets stronger when the body is actually breathing this glue in, it's because the pyramid is inducing an energy field or by resonance into the carbon atom of the body, which is causing it to overcome the negative effects of the poison that are going in. You can always call in here for muscle testing. We can test you right over the phone for certain items in the product line, because it's really interesting to note how they affect different people. For example, if you need a receptor with a blue stone, for example, you have a heart circulation weakness and your vitality is down in those areas, we'll have you visualize different colors and test yourself, and you'll find that at one point you're going to become stronger, even over the phone, of what you need, just by the art of suggestion, because the body even knows more than you do. And when your ego finally confronts what the body needs, the body responds. More on that later. Now, in kind of wrapping it up on the pyramids, before we get into the receptor, I want to go into a few more things about them. During the intense disciplines and studies with over 300 students learning psychokinesis with Dr. Lawrence Kennedy, we noticed a series of patterns reoccurring time and time again concerning the effect of the Pyridine series headgear. What they did is they wore the pyramids to accelerate the learning potential of Dr. Kennedy's psychokinesis classes. We found that during the actual channeling and conscious effort required to bend a piece of metal using mental energies amplified by the respective pyramid worn, tremendous stress is placed on the body and mind, and inherent genetic weaknesses often emerge rather quickly during the channeling that under normal circumstances of daily routines lie dormant. Because when you start going into this, until it becomes a natural thing, it's a big thing. A lot of people want to learn how to become contactees. A lot of people want to learn how to become channelers. People want to learn psychokinesis, sometimes just for the art of the psychokinesis of the channeling, or something, you know, what you're going to do beyond that. And hopefully that people listening to this tape are into those kinds of things, but they're interested more in what happens beyond that in their personal growth. People wearing the radome for the first time find after several hours of wear, their mental capabilities greatly expanded and their energy very high, but they are suffering from a headache. This immediately disappears when the radome is removed and the pyridome is placed on the head in its stead. A second phenomenon that we noticed was occurring, and when a student wore a radome or fire dome until bedtime, he finds that after retirement, his inability or her inability to sleep and lies wide awake all night wondering what to do with their extra energy. These are common things that happen. Another thing that we found is that after a period of time, the people didn't get the mental lift from the pyramid over a period of time. And that was why when we got into the formulation, we took a look at where this mental lift was coming from. And like I said earlier, it came from the secretion of a hormone called vasopressin, which the radome and the pyridome increase a lot. And when you have this increased rate, they're going to deplete vasopressin. And the smog has a tendency to deplete it also. So that's why a lot of times people can't get their mental energies together when they're driving after they've driven. So what we found is that by looking at what vasopressin is made of, the French, of course, went and manufactured a drug called Diapid, which came back over here, was sold over here through Surly. But, you know, once again, putting a drug into your system in the form of a hormone is not the correct way. The idea is to put the ingredients of the hormone in the body and let the body manufacture it. Of course, the body won't manufacture it without the even with the proper ingredients if the environment isn't right for it. The environmental conditioning, the etheric conditioning around the organs that have to process that down through the endocrine system. Of course, when you put the radome on, this puts on the puts the proper environment in the system, or one of our big like radiators, which we'll talk about later, also will help give the system energization. But you still need the raw constituents. The raw constituents in this case would be niacin, which would be an enzyme, B3, B6, peroxidine, which is necessary, lysine and arginine. Those three are necessary to latch up and create vasopressin. So when you take the XL Plus formula, which was designed specifically for the radome or the pyridome or the pyridome, then you can be assured of you've created the environment, you've put in the constituents necessary to create the hormone, and you're going to get the hormone. When we added the lysine arginine diet to the people that were not noticing this mental stimulation after a period of time, let's say you wore the 3 months, that wore the radome or the pyridome for 3 months, didn't notice that you were getting the same energies or lifting sensation that you had when you previously worn it, then when we took those kinds of people and put them back on a diet of lysine and arginine, they got the renewed and increased benefits of the pyramid once again. That's once again where the formulation came from. Now, getting back to what I was saying about the getting up in the middle of the night and the headaches, these are not negative effects, but rather failure of each of the persons to study the various effects of the different headgear were designed to produce. In order to understand this, let's just check this a little further now. Let me go into it a little deeper. Our feelings are determined on a physical level by the quality of the air we breathe, the type of people we associate with, the type of foods we consume. When we take a breath of air, prana, which I talked about earlier, with a vitality globule, with or without it, depending on the time of day, we are breathing either positive or negative ions. Negative ions build cells in the body. We cannot reproduce a single cell in the body without the presence of negative ions and produce a feeling of euphoria or well-being. This is important because the average person depletes their cell banks at the rate of 50 million cells per second. And if you're out there driving on the freeway and you're depleting your cell bank at 50 million cells per second, you can bet that you're not replenishing it that fast unless you've got a negative ionizer in the car, or you're wearing a pyramid, or you're on some powerful nutrition that helps work with the pyramid or the ionizer. Now, positive ions, on the other hand, cause feelings of depression, short attention span, irritability, fear, paranoia, and anxiety, and often bring disease conditions of a psychotic respiratory nature. The air that we once consumed mostly, which was once mostly negative ions, is today two-thirds positive ions. Now, long-term freeway breathing of positive ions creates long-term genetic damage, just as if you were to breathe negative ions and create a feeling of euphoria and cell building and conscious building in your structure, and create a system whereby your body can start genetically mutating forward in a positive way and going into the altered states. For example, when Jay-Z Knight first started wearing the pyramids, she was just an ordinary housewife, but she wore them for a short period of time, and pretty soon she was channeling Rantha. I mean, because she would have done that without the pyramid in a period of time, it might have been 200 or 300 years because the environment is so bad. So the pyramid was necessary on her head to help her body reach the change it was striving to on its own. And the worst example of going the other way now, of the negative side of it, is the freeway shootings in Southern California. People get out there, drive the freeways for several years, their hormone structures go negative. They cannot even no longer manufacture vasopressin, so they get into a stress situation and they react violently to it because they can't process properly. Since negative ions enter the body through the nose and charge the red blood cells in the lungs, wearing a pyridome, fyridome, or radome, or pyridome on the other hand, all produce a negative ion effect in the presence of polluted air, the air is influenced by the pyramid's force field as it enters into the lungs. Another important fact often overlooked is that it has a strong influence on our feelings and attitudes. As you know, you realize that we consume 2,500 gallons of air a day. That's a lot of air. Now imagine whether you want that air to go through some tailpipe of a car, or would you like to come it through a negative ionizer or a pyramid? It's your choice. Imagine how hard your conscious mind has to work overcoming the negative effect of positive ions with each air we breathe. So people can say, well, hey, my mind can handle that. Well, sure it can, for a certain period of time, and your mind is using up 80% of your energy, and what have you got energy left to do? Just to stay positive, you can't even think after a while. The American Medical Association has published statistics that 1 out of 2 Americans living today will contact cancer. And guess where the most cancer occurs? Yeah, the lungs. Exactly. And the rest of it comes in the large intestine from eating junk foods loaded with preservatives and insecticides. These are the two major areas of cancer. The second aspect of our feelings deals with our endocrine system. As I said earlier, there are 7 major endocrine glands in the body which differ from other glands. You know, they secrete hormones directly into the bloodstream. Now, I realize that you've got to have clean blood. I'm assuming that you're exercising, you're using a good vitamin formula, and all these kinds of things, because the amount of secretions, there's only parts per billion, parts per million, and if you're not getting, you know, if your blood isn't clean enough, I don't care what kind of a pyramid you're wearing, it's not going to help you, so you've got to keep the blood clean, too. If the arterial system is functioning correctly, these hormones reach the brain 15 seconds after the secretion and produce feelings of energy, like the adrenals. Remember I told you earlier that the hormone is the first unit of biochemistry possessing consciousness. Love, energy, feelings, all right, this is thymus hormones. Concentration, which we just mentioned, pituitary and hormones, vasopressin. Our sexual arousement, the gonad hormones. Negative feelings are usually only produced by one hormone, serotonin. That's the death hormone. So you want to keep that in the body, but balanced and not active, because serotonin is, once again, to keep children alive when they come into this world. They're not really ready for it yet. And when they arrive here, it's too bad. And like I've said in many of my lectures, you know, we should celebrate the birth of kids coming in, not have a big celebration when people die or a big funeral when people die. And sick people should not be buried in the earth. They should be cremated, because the earth's aura field is just polluted. It's like putting bad drugs or bad vitamins and bad nutrition into your system when you're already sick. It's the wrong thing to do. So we want to keep serotonin balanced, which comes from the pineal gland. Now, serotonin, of course, when you breathe smog, gets out of balance. And when people are breathing positive ions or pollution smog, and you were to check them out later, you'd find that there was serotonin all over their brain, which is bad. And of course, this has got to be regulated. Now, if you look at how the lung goes, you know, how the wall works and the breath works, when we breathe air into our lungs containing positive or negative ions, the air enters into the walls and little membranes called villi. It mixes with a red blood cell called hemoglobin. Hemoglobin consists of iron and about 700 different amino acids and small traces of copper. Now, remember what I said, most people have too much copper, so be careful if you're taking vitamins that have copper in them, because you shouldn't be doing that. Most people have way too much copper in their systems. The iron picks up the electrical charge, either positive or negative, depending on the quality of the air. And this charge is carried in the blood through the heart. It goes from the heart via the carotid artery to the brain. Now, the basic law of electricity that applies to the physical action also applies to metabolism, in that like charges repel and unlike charges attract. So when the negatively charged red blood cells arrive at the brain and are circulated through the circle of Willis, that's starting at the cerebellum, and it's the artery system of the brain. And assuming you have negative ions on the brain, positive energy is attracted from the outside of the body. And when the positive energy is attracted to the brain, the discharges are neutralized during this neutralization, you have the feeling of consciousness and a positive mood swing or euphoria. So breaking that down briefly, when you breathe in a negative charge, it goes up into the brain, puts a negative charge on the brain, the aura field, it attracts a positive outside energy, which comes through as euphoria. Don't look at it as attracting positive ions, because the brain conditions the negative energy into a positive attraction. And the positive attractive energy is the etheric. It's reversed now. It's causing an etheric shift of energy upward. So when the electrical negative attracts a positive charge in the brain, realize it's attracting a positive charge on the outside also, which is not measured as electricity, but its counterpart reversed. So this is how the mood works. If, however, you breed positive ions and they are transported to the brain and they go through the circle of Willis, you attract negative energy from the outside, and once again receiving a discharge and feeling of consciousness now, but the result in feeling is depression, fear, anxiety, paranoia, claustrophobia, asthma, and all these other kinds of things. Another interesting note gathered by research scientists is that positive ions isolate iron, the electrical carrier, from the red blood cells, thus creating a feeling of suffocation. And a lot of people feel awful claustrophobic sometimes when the Santa Ana winds blow. Or stuffiness, so that when you breathe positive ions, you literally suffocate from the inside out. This drops the electrical barrier and the person is now open for disease. Thus you begin to realize why people are wearing pyramids. They may look strange at first, but so did extended bumpers on automobiles. Both serve a very necessary purpose in today's times of poor air, stress, and tension. A second thing that our products do is cause a secretion of various hormones depending on which dome is being warmed, and this is determined by the metals used, which I've already discussed earlier. I had to read this little bit out of this booklet that I wrote, because I think it's great to understand how these pyramids are affecting. Now remember, when you wear these pyramids, I said earlier, because the brain arterial size is smaller, and you're going to get a tremendous buildup of toxins in the body, you will get a headache. Especially when the fire dome and ray dome are first worn, and the power dome. The body, of course, goes back to its natural state. By vibrations of the domes vibrate the colon and the cerebellum. They vibrate back and forth. They cause them to discharge toxins back into the bloodstream, and this is normal. When the liver picks up these toxins, and the liver is the major cleansing organ, and makes them ready to be discharged from the body through the urinary tract. But the liver, like I said earlier, is going to get overloaded. It does cause headaches. So when the liver sends a signal directly to the carotid gland, which allows blood pressure to rise in the head, which is like a regulator, high blood pressure results in the head causing the vessels in the circle of Willis network to be against the cranial cavity, and an aching sensation is felt in the mind. This is normal. This is the body's way of telling us that we are working our liver too hard. Remember I gave the example of drinking too much alcohol, but there it's in your system and you can't take the alcohol out and take a break. You've got to just deal with it until it's out on its own. So, remember, take the pyramid off, take your vitamin C, relax, exercise, and then go back to it. Hopefully, this has given you an understanding. You know, I've repeated myself, I realize, 3 or 4 times in different cases. I've emphasized things back and forth, but I think it's important to understand the headgear series. It does help us. Number one, it detoxifies the brain. Number two, it balances electrical energy in the case of the pyridome or the gold power dome, which relaxes you. Number three, it raises the frequency of blood so that you don't pick up viruses or different kinds of things like that. Number four, it gets rid of ototoxicity, meaning that when your colon, when you eat fruit and that you sometimes open up your colon areas and expose germs that have been layered by layers of fecal material, and you get poisoning yourself again from that. It helps eliminate that. It helps you develop your, in the end, when it's done, the detoxing part of what it does, it helps you develop your higher clairvoyant spiritual powers that we all have that are suppressed by all these toxins. So it's definitely something that you, and once, by the way, you've got your higher power, your higher mind operating in conjunction with your lower mind, it doesn't mean that you shouldn't still wear a pyramid. The body will have a tendency to go back to its normal state, which is pollution, living in this once again polluted environment. So I recommend that you continue wearing it, even if you're getting the super results that you were not getting in the first place, continue wearing it. Because now it gives your body a freedom to go ahead and develop in its cause of producing the necessary hormones to reach the altered state, which of course the systems will also help you do too, and they'll take it to a level far beyond what the headgear can do. But the headgear is very necessary as a first point or starting point. Now before I go into the next phase of this, where we start getting into the nuclear receptor and the DNA forces, I want to share with you a couple of things. I received a phone call several years ago, back in the 70s, about 2 o'clock in the morning, from a gentleman who was a school teacher up in the Orchid Union school system up near San Luis Obispo, and his name was Sky Lewis, and he said, Dr. Bell, we have an amazing thing to report here. We have a student over here, his name is Stan Alms, who's been treated for over a year for dyslexia, and he had a problem with grand mal seizures, and he was on a medicated mineral treatment by the medical profession. And he said, we put the pyramids on his head just for an experiment. And he wore them for over a month. And as of today, I think yesterday, he said 2 days had gone by, he all of a sudden didn't have seizures anymore. And he was developing overnight the ability to write. And he wrote me a little testimonial, which basically said, Dr. Bell, I thank you for bringing the radome. I thank you for letting me wear the Pyridome. I'm glad Mr. Lewis ordered these products. I do not know how they work. I like them very much. The testimonial to that was one of our first, what I would call notarial testimonials. And it was real interesting in the fact that this was back in the 70s and we were getting a feel for how our equipment worked. And we realized that what happened is the child had worn the pyramid on his head and it increased the electrical potential of the head, the brain, and probably it's like charging your battery. You know, you try to start your car with a battery that's not quite charged up. It won't start sometimes. There's enough to maybe turn it over, but not enough to get the electricity going into the coil to make the spark plug spark. Well, evidently the therapies that they were giving him that were medications were not strong enough to kick him into getting over the seizure part. But as soon as the pyramid shook up or released some of the toxins that were probably in his brain and increased the electrical potentials of the brain, which they're capable of doing, then the medication worked and the child had no longer seizures. And I think other things like that came along too. I have a score of testimonials today. And I've got one other letter I'd like to read real quick here. It was dated May 23rd, 1977. This is from Dr. Howard White, clinical psychologist. He worked in a government VA hospital back in Washington Square, New York. Dear Dr. Bell, this letter is to relate some preliminary findings of some informational, informal look-see research that I have been conducting with your products. Otherwise specifies that I would be making reference to your products called the Pyridome and the Firedome, particularly the former, inasmuch as they are the only products distributed by your company with which I have sufficient familiarity. Considering both the limited duration and informality of my investigations, the statements made in the letter might best be considered my opinions based upon subjective impression, clinical intuition, and statements made by subjects. That is, they are not statements based upon replication of procedures under controlled conditions. First, I will report personal experiences with the Pyridome and Firedome. Thus far, the latter devices have been tested on myself only. The sensations experienced while wearing the Firedome differed markedly from those experienced while wearing the Pyridome. The Firedome was subjectively experienced as an energizer. There seemed to be some mood elevation and an increase in general physical energy and muscular strength. These effects were accompanied by a direct sensation of warmth in the solar plexus area. The increase in muscular strength was particularly noteworthy in the lower extremities, inasmuch as I am still affected by both compression and the corrective spinal surgery. He evidently had had some spinal surgery from an accident. The Pyridome was, continuing here, the Pyridome was subjectively experienced as an alpha-like state accompanied by relaxation. Remember I said earlier it would put you in the alpha state. I have used this device on my feet and have found that it provides significant alleviation of the symptoms of spasticity. And he had a foot circulation problem and sensation problem because of the damage it had done to his spine previously, and I guess it could help bring the feeling back into his feet. While on my feet and other parts of the body, I have experienced electric-like sensations comparable to my experiences during acupuncture. I have also found that acupuncture treatments per se seem more effective when combined with the use of the Pyridome. The experience reported by other subjects wearing the Pyridome have been quite uniform and reliable. Their experiences have shown some quantitative variability depending upon such factors as previous practice and meditative techniques. Those who have meditated reported that the usual effects from meditation were greatly enhanced by the Pyridome. These effects, such as deep relaxation and feelings of well-being, were achieved more quickly and were generally more pronounced. Those who did not practice meditation, nevertheless, seemed to experience similar sensations as those who did, and perhaps to a lesser degree. This alpha-like state occurred with first usage and within a matter of minutes. In some cases, effects were noticed almost immediately. I believe that I have sampled a great many of the more highly sophisticated pyramid energy devices currently being distributed by major companies. Based upon experiences with myself a subject. It is my opinion that the two devices which have been discussed in this letter were more helpful than any other devices which were sampled when used in the areas and manners employed by myself. The fact that one need not orient these devices to the magnetic north is a major convenience. It should be emphasized that these devices are not toys. They appear to serve as a channel or focus for electromagnetic energies. Unlike most other devices which utilize some energies, they prove to be potentially helpful when used properly. The converse would also appear to be true. If, as many quantum physicists believe, the universe is composed of energy, and the human consciousness itself is a form of energy capable of influencing other energies, any given individual's level of consciousness would seem to be crucial in regard to the vicissitudes of how these pyramid energies, for example. For example, if one is ruled by his basic desires, his consciousness may focus pyramid energies largely in these areas. And that's, he's given an example for his actual sex energies. A lot of people like sex, for example, under the great pyramids, the larger pyramids that would make, because if you find, for example, when you're having sex and a phone rings, that's a great diversion, and it takes a while to refocus sometimes, and it's an annoyance, and any other kind of outside interference is an annoyance. And we found that the inside the pyramid, these annoyances, the effects of them are far less. However, if one has the will to move up into higher great self-awareness, it is possible that his consciousness may direct pyramid energies to facilitate that action. It is my opinion that this area warrants further investigations. Yours truly, Dr. Howard White, and it was signed. This is one of many different letters that we've received over a period of time. Now what I want to do is kind of start heading into the direction of the nuclear receptor, which is in itself an exciting piece. One of the things that people like in my lectures and demonstration is when I have a person in front of an audience and I stand them up in front of the audience and have them extend their right arm straight forward and press down on it. When I do this, of course, it checks the level of strength on the pectoralis clavicular muscles, which in turn are hooked to the adrenal cortex, and which measures electricity and energy coming from the solar plexus area of the body. And then what I do is I have them breathe a very deadly glue. I usually pick one of the more deadly, highly toxic forms of glue, which half the audience can smell when I open the lid up on it. And of course, immediately they test weak when they're breathing the vapors of the glue and being pushed down on their right arm. Then what I do is I place one of the receptors around their neck, continue having them breathe the glue, and normally they test a lot stronger breathing the glue with the receptor on than they did with no glue at all and the receptor off. So here, what we're showing is that the person can breathe this glue and become stronger. And I don't recommend that you do this as a practice. It's very dangerous. But what I am saying is that the receptor's energies allow the body's energies to process the effects of the glue very effectively. And this is kind of an overkill. Some people like to test on sugar and things like that as a source of poison or tobacco from a pack of cigarettes. But we feel that the glue test is because it's full of very powerful chemicals like tritoluene and different forms of alcohol resins and keisters and all these different forms of things. Sometimes they have acetones in them and you can really smell them. These are a lot more toxic than the normal fumes that you would breathe, for example, going down a freeway. But even so, they're bad. So therefore, if this device is allowing you to process them and you become stronger and feel better in their presence, naturally, I would recommend that it was doing something to your body. And so for you to understand what it does to your body, we have to look at a whole lot of different things. Basically, the first thing that we're looking at is the fact that the body, once again, I'm saying, is oxygen, hydrogen, nitrogen, and carbon. And if you look at the red blood cell is made up of a carbon atom shape, which is a pyramid. Now, in the case of the red blood cell, it's not a carbon atom, it's an iron atom, but it's the same shape. And when the body is breathing in this poison, it distorts the octahedral or eight-sided pyramid shape that's inside each and every single cell of red blood cells in the body. It's distorted by this toxic effect of the glue coming in the system. And what happens is if you look at it, the oxygen and hydrogen, nitrogen and carbon are linked up around the iron atom in this case. And you've got two alpha chains and two beta chains in blood. And what happens is these chains can't maintain their symmetry and integrity when this glue is coming in. But if we put the receptor on the body, what happens is the chain starts to maintain its integrity even though the glue is present, meaning that it goes back to its normal geometric shape because the glue had pushed the geometry out of place. When it goes to its normal geometric shape, it begins to process or handle all these kinds of poisons that are going through it.
This seminar series is continued on the other side.
Well, that was a lot. That was a lot of fun, and of course we'll continue this next Friday as we move on into the different areas of the pyramids. Now you're starting to get a feel for what we've been doing all these years. It's really interesting to look back at the pyramids when we first developed the Ray Dome and the Fire Dome and all the mistakes that we made in the firing process and the, you know, getting the orgone layers to work up to where we are now working with holograms. It's amazing. Also, I don't know if you're familiar with the phantom leaf effect, but that was one of the things that we discovered during Curlian photography days. When you take a leaf, like say a maple leaf off a tree, and break and take one of the remove one of the points on the fingers of the leaf, when you take a Curlian photography picture of it, what happens is that you'll see that the where the leaf was, in other words, where the one finger of the leaf and the five-fingered maple leaf was, still there on the Curlian photography. It's called the phantom leaf effect. Sometimes they did it with a lizard. The tail is gone, and when the tail is removed, the lizard is placed on a Curlian camera, and the tail appears to be there because the aura field is around something that you're not seeing, and that's called the second etheric level of energy, and the pyramid actually propagates that energy in the body. So in the case of a destroyed cell, a brain cell, or whatever it is, effect is that it will help grow the cell back to its normal place where it was, even though there's nothing there to build on anymore. It kind of builds out. It's called a phantom effect, phantom leaf effect. And we're getting more and more into that now with the pyramid products, and we've got a heck of a lot more track record because we've been doing this for 32 years. So we know a little bit more than we did back in, 15 years ago when this was done. So anyway, thank you for listening to the show today. Thank you folks down at Tam Talk 1340 Radio for listening. And the voice of Tampa Bay is saying good afternoon, and we're going to see you tomorrow night with Judge Wynn Miller. David Wynn will be here. Here come the judge. Here come the judge.